things. Okay, Judges, the 16th chapter. If I were going to title this, I don't title my messages very often, but if I were going to title this message, because it actually has one that fits, it would be Let the Games Begin. That would be the title. It's kind of where we are as this man, who you all are aware of, Samson, years ago, by the way, maybe 10, 12 years ago, we had a lady in our church named Delilah. Anybody remember Delilah? So all four of us remember Delilah. And I preached this story. She'd never heard it. And she came up, she was probably 70 and had never heard the story of Samson and Delilah. And she came up in shock. I can't believe my parents would name me after a woman like this. I don't know what to tell you. I couldn't believe it either, but you're glad. Welcome here. But anyway, we're looking at this story of Samson and Delilah. And the problem that Samson has here in this story is that he thinks that sin is something he can play with. He thinks that his spiritual walk is a game that he can just kind of do with as he wants. And in fact, he gets himself in some trouble through it. And you know the story for the most part. Let's start in verse 4, and we'll kind of read ourselves through the chapter in just a moment. Let's start in verse 4. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, Entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him. Why? Why do they want to bind him? To afflict him, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said unto Samson, Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound. Now, please notice the last three words from Delilah to Samson. Wherein thou mightest be bound, why? Samson is fully aware of what's going on. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would just help us to learn and grow through your word today as we study it. Help us to see Samson's behavior and to determine not to mirror that in our own lives. And Father, we'll thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. It is an amazing thing to me, first of all, that they would have the audacity to come to this woman and say, hey, we want to torture this guy. We want to afflict this guy. We want to make life difficult for this guy. So, you know, you need to find out the secret from money. That's the kind of woman Delilah was. She was willing to give up this person who loved her, this person who she was pretending to care about, for money. But beyond that, this is actually the good side of Delilah. She wasn't trying to hide anything from Samson, right? She said, tell me, please, Samson, how we might bind you so that we could afflict you. I mean, she doesn't try to hide it at all. And I want you to see how Samson begins to play a game. Now, you know the story of Samson, perhaps, you know, but Samson has been used of God to do great and mighty things already. He's incredibly strong when the power of God is upon his life. He is a mighty man, and God's used him, but Samson has made a series of bad choices. As he has been put in a situation where God is able to use him and willing to use him, Samson seems to have somehow translated this into this kind of thought. Samson's confidence went from being in God, or maybe it never was really, but went from being in God to where? Into himself. Samson became convinced that he was indestructible, that sin couldn't touch his life, that wickedness couldn't intervene, that he had the hand of God upon him and the power of God was upon him, and he began to be cocky about it and brash and brazen, and you're going to see that in the story. So he's used of God. He has great strength, but he's become somehow proud. Take a look at verse 1. We'll go back and says, and kind of look at it again. Then Samson went to Gaza, and there he saw an harlot. And what does he do? Now, this is before Delilah. Delilah comes along in verse 4. Do you see that Samson has a problem here? Samson, three verses later, Samson finds Delilah. Samson has a problem here. But his problem is that somehow he has become convinced that God has so touched his life that nothing else can touch him. And Samson, in his arrogance, begins to play a game with sin. And you're going to see it played out here, and you're going to see what begins to happen. It starts, though, with Samson allowing these selfish desires to take control of his life. Earlier, he says to his parents, get me a wife. If you read the story, it's comical, and yet it's not comical. Samson is rude in his conversation with his mom and dad. And they said, you need to take a wife of, God's people. And he says, I don't want one of those. I want this wife. And you have to hear that story. I mean, Samson is making a series of selfish decisions. And it starts with this little thing of selfishness, of him just constantly thinking that he's the most important person in the room, that the family, the world, the church, everybody revolves around him. It's all about him. And here's Samson in this mentality, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this, and thinking that somehow, because he wants it, he should have it. By the way, can I just point out that that is right where we are in America as a general society? If you don't believe me, then substitute teach for a day or two. Chicken. Yeah, I didn't see any volunteers there. All the teachers are smiling at me. Amen, Pastor John. This is the society that we've kind of built for ourselves, and we're a selfish, self-centered society, and we've become convinced that the world revolves around us. And that is a dangerous place to be, because that's where Samson was. And it leads to where Samson becomes so self-centered and so arrogant and so concentrated on himself and self-confident that he somehow believes that other things have no impact on him. And so this selfish desire, we saw in verse 4 where he loved this woman, the Valley of Sorek, and we see this, it leads now to risky behavior. What Samson goes from this selfishness to now he is taking risks with his spiritual walk. He is tempting God, so to speak. Do you remember when the devil and Jesus are having a conversation? Jesus is being tempted of the devil in, I think it's Matthew chapter 4. And the devil says, throw yourself off this pinnacle because God has promised. I love when the devil quotes scripture. Because God has promised to give his angels charge over thee, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Tell me something. Did God promise that? Yes, he did. Absolutely. God has promised to take care of you, the devil says. So throw caution to the wind because God, has God promised to take care of you and I? Absolutely. By the way, that promise given to Jesus, yes, was given to David earlier as a child of God. And so the promise is kind of blanket. He has given his angels charge over us, lest we would dash our foot against them. God has promised to take care of us. You know what Jesus' answer to the devil was? Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Yes, God has promised to take care of me, Jesus says. But that promise doesn't necessarily fall into the stupid category, right? If I'm going to walk over to the cliff and throw myself off, I'm probably going to break some bones when I hit the ground. But God has promised. No, God, that's not what God's promise is about. And Jesus knew that. The devil knew that. Samson knew that. And yet here is Samson, and he begins to take risks with his spiritual walk. And some of us, if we're not careful, what happens is we get this selfish mindset, and we begin to become a little proud and arrogant in our walk, and now we're taking risks with our spiritual walk. We're taking risks with our family. And that somehow we think that if we get this close to sin, our family won't suffer for it, because God has promised. He's given his angels charge over us. God's going to keep us from dashing our foot against the stone. And so they begin to take risks. So here's this guy who's being risky with his spiritual walk, and he's looking at things on the internet he ought not to be. It's not full-blown bad pornography yet. It's just stuff he ought not to be seeing. He's taking risks because his confidence has come into himself. I know when to stop. Right? And he's taking risks with his spiritual life. Here's this guy who has developed a confidence in himself, and somehow he's become convinced that just because he develops a closer relationship with his secretary than he ought, that he knows where the line is, and his family won't suffer for it. And I'll remind you of what Jesus said to the devil. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And so this guy's taking risks. Here's Samson. He begins to take risks. Let's take a look at it and you'll see it. Samson says in verse 7, if they bind me with seven green withes that were never dried, then shall I be weak as another man. And then the Lord of the Philistines brought up her seven green withes which had never been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. Now, I'm not sure yet if Samson knew about this. I do know that Samson was told right up front, Samson, how could we bind you so that we might afflict you? Right? There's no question. Samson understands that that's what she's wanting. How do you get Samson to cooperate with this? You know, if Samson doesn't understand that there's at least the potential of affliction on the other side of the binding, right? So she says, hey, Samson, let's go ahead and play the game. Let's find out. Let's bind you with the green withes. Okay, here you go. Samson is confident that those green withes are going to do nothing. And so look what happens. You get the idea. They were lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withes and as a thread, like it was nothing. And when he touched it, it was touched with fire. And so his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, behold, verse 10, thou hast mocked me. And behold, and told me lies. Can you hear it? Every guy who has ever been led around by the nose by a girl who was paying attention to him, which is virtually every guy in this room, every guy who knows what it's like to have a girl pay attention to you, and all of a sudden your mind goes blank and you're no longer thinking clearly, this Samson, you know, whatever, here he is. And Samson, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. I tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. Samson, I can't believe you would do that to me. I thought you, can't you hear all of this? I thought you loved me, Samson. She doesn't say that. I'm adding, I know. But look at verse 11. And he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that were never occupied, never used, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Do you see how Samson's playing the game? Samson is taking risks with his spiritual life. And each risk is getting him in a little more trouble. Now, you know the story. So she says, Samson, the Philistines be upon thee. And they come running in, and he breaks the ropes like it's nothing big deal. And he, you know, goes out and beats up the Philistines. And look at verse 13. And Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weavest the seven locks of my head with the web. Now listen to me, look at me. This is important. Samson is what? What's the vow that he has taken? What is he? A Nazarite. He's taking the Nazarite vow. All right? Now, this vow would say things like, you can never drink wine. That's a vow to promise to God, I will never drink wine. You can never touch anything that's dead. And you can't cut your hair. Those are three major parts of the Nazarite vow, right? Hear me. This is important. His hair did not give him strength. His commitment to God was his strength. Now, his commitment to God was not to do these things. But God was his strength, not his hair, right? So those guys, if you want to use, I want to grow my hair extra long because I want to be like Samson. Well, okay. Being like Samson, looking like Delilah is a problem. But anyway, that's another story. But that's still another story. But here he is. He said, here's what's happening. He's getting closer and closer and closer to the vow. Do you see that? He's playing the game. He has become convinced that he is invincible. Which, by the way, just about reminds, no offense to you guys, but it just about reminds me of every teenage guy I've ever known, right? They think they're invincible. That's why they jump off of moving vehicles. They don't, somehow they think it's not going to hurt them. And then we go visit them in the hospital, Pastor Andrew and I do, take them a little gift, and they chalk it up to one more stupid thing. And that would be great if it ended there, but it doesn't, right? Then they just keep doing more and more stuff because they become convinced that they're invincible. Here's Samson. He is convinced that nothing he is going to do is going to truly impact his walk with the Lord. And so he says to her, if you weave my hair with seven locks of my head with a web. And so then in verse 14, she fastened it with a pin and said to him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. He wakened out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And verse 15 comes about. And she said unto him, how canst thou say, I love thee, Delilah? You mean so much to me, Delilah. How can you say that when thine heart is not with me? Now, help me here. At what point has Delilah shown any reciprocation of this love? Samson, tell me how we can beat you up. How can we tie you up so that we can afflict you, Samson? Hello? Yikes. But again, you know, I mean, Samson's a guy. And I'm going to assume Delilah's probably a pretty good-looking girl, and it doesn't take a lot. And so here it is. And so she says, you know, how can you mock me? How can you say you love me when thine heart is not? Thou hast mocked me these three times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. Now verse 16. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him that his soul was vexed unto death. Now, what would we call this in common vernacular? Nagging. She's nagging him. And now his soul is vexed. And he has been playing this game. He's allowed sin to creep into his life. He's gone just a little further each time, and just a little further each time, and just a little further each time. And each time he went a little further, it seemed to work out. And that's the danger of sin. Because, you know, we might go this far and then, oh, we're able to back away because, we recognize what we did, and so we ask the Lord to forgive us, whatever. And each time it seems to work out. But each time Samson's going a little further. And now it's to the point that Samson's soul is vexed, and we get down to verse 17. And it came to pass, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head. Here's what he says unto her. I have made a vow unto my God. And this vow, this promise to live my life for God in a special way, that's the secret of my strength. Cause me to break the promise, and the strength goes away. Never has a razor touched my head. But if you take a razor, if I be shaven, then will my strength go from me. And I shall become weak and be like any other man. Verse 18, and when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought the money in their hand. And she made him sleep on her knees, and she called for a man and caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. Here it is that Samson had gone so far, he had pushed the envelope so far, that now his spiritual strength is gone. His ability to respond like he has in the past is gone. The strength that he had gotten from his relationship to God is gone. And if that's where this story ended, it would be a sad, sad story. But the next verse in my mind is actually, I've often referred to this verse as the saddest verse in the Bible. Take a look at it. It says, verse 20, and she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. And here it is. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Here's the biggest problem with playing with sin. It had become apparent. Who knew that he had no strength? Read the verse before. Who knew that Samson had no strength? Delilah. It had become apparent to those people who were around him that his spiritual strength was gone. The only person in the Philistines knew. They brought the money with them this time. The Philistines knew. The only person in this story who is oblivious to the fact that he's lost his standing with God is a man named Samson, who did not know, wist not, that the Lord had departed from him. He started playing with sin and playing with sin, and each time getting a little closer, and each time taking a little further, and each time letting his guard down a little more. And all of a sudden, the time comes when Samson is totally unaware that the hand of God is no longer upon his life. How sad. How sad that he would so take for granted what God was doing through him, that he would so take for granted that God was doing working in his life, that he would put all of that at risk. That he would risk his family, that he would risk his standing in the community, that he would risk everything he had. I mean, history, and I'm talking about recent history, history that you can remember, is full of stories about preachers who used to live for God. Right? And here's Samson playing this game, and then he gets up and he goes out to fight a spiritual battle, which you and I do every day of our lives. As we walk out the front door, we're facing a spiritual battle. That is why we are to put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For the devil, as a roaring lion, goes about seeking whom he may devour. And Samson goes out, not even realizing that the hand of God was off of his life. And you know the story. They poke out Samson's eyes. They bind him in chains. And they put him to be a mule or a donkey pushing a stone to grind grain. He's bound. He's blind. He's in bondage. And all of a sudden, sin had such a grip on Samson that he could not get away. And you and I all know people like that, who went from living for God at one point to now being stubbornly blind and unable to see what sin has done to their lives and to their families, how it has broken them, and they're bound to their sin. One day, knowing the power of God in a very unique way, only to the next day to be blind, bound, burdened, all of these things. This is Samson. He said, sure, I'll play the game because I know when to stop. I know when to quit. I know when to turn around. And he became so arrogant that he kept looking at more stuff on the internet. He became so arrogant that he developed a relationship with somebody he should not have done so. He became so arrogant that he set his Bible down and quit reading it. He knew when to draw the line. And yet, that wasn't the case, was it? So he loses his spiritual strength. And that is an awful price. It is. There's a story about, I don't know if this is true, but it makes for a good story. I really don't know if it's true. But I know that the science of it's true. There's a story about an eagle on the Niagara River in the winter months, and he sees this log floating, and he goes down, he lands on this log so that he can eat the fish that he's just pulled out of the water. And he's sitting on this log eating this fish. In the meantime, the mist of the waterfalls has begun to build, and that mist freezes faster than the water. And the eagle looks over. He hears the roar. He sees the falls, but he's got time. He's got time. He's got time. And finally, just before he would go over the falls, he lifts his wings to take off and fly, not realizing that his talons have frozen to the log. That's Samson. Just playing with sin. I've got time. I can get right with God later on. I can get a little closer to sin. I can fulfill a little more of what I want to do, not realizing that sin takes a hold. But I don't want to leave you there. Go down, if you would, to verse 22, and let me show you something. I do not understand why God is so gracious to human beings. But look at verse 22. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow after he was shaven. You know the story. Samson says, God, if you might use me one more time, give me that strength just one more time. And it is amazing to me that God is so gracious to his children. But I'm reminded of 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, as the choir was singing, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And even when you've become a Samson and you've let sin take hold of your life and literally take you over the falls and ruin the testimony that you once had, God is still gracious, and his hair begins to grow. God hadn't forgotten Samson, and God uses him just one more time.